Welcome to Turning Tides, a podcast produced by young people from Asia and Europe. Climate change is one of the most defining issues of our time. Everywhere in the world, its effects are being noticed. But we need more than just facts and figures to inspire people to take action. We need personal stories and experiences told by the people who are fighting them on the front line. In this podcast, we engage with policymakers, activists, and community groups working on climate change issues to empower people to take action. This podcast is a project under the Asia-Europe Foundation's Young Leaders Summit. ASEF is an intergovernmental, not-for-profit organization that brings together the people of Asia and Europe to address common global challenges.
Hi there, my name is Kelsey, and for today's episode, we will be chatting with Shreya Casey, a climate youth activist from Nepal. Shreya will be telling us about Mock COP26, which was a youth-organised conference with participants from all around the world. COP, short for Conference of the Parties, is the annual meeting on climate change attended by world leaders. In Mock COP, young people simulated this meeting and produced a treaty which amplified the youth voice and demonstrated the ambition and dreams of young people worldwide fighting for a fair, equal and green world. I hope you enjoy it.
Should I turn off my video?
You can leave your video on.
Make sure that the internet.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, if you think that the internet needs it, then you can turn it off for sure. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I'll do that then.
Awesome. Okay, great. So, do you just want to firstly introduce yourself, like where you're from and what you do as well?
Yeah. Hello. Thank you again for having me. My name is Shreya Casey. I'm based in Kathmandu, Nepal. I am a student of environmental science. I passed my bachelor's in environmental science just a few months ago. And it's been around 5 years that I've been working in environment and climate change. Presently, I am working as a campaign coordinator in Mock COP26. I was a delegate from Nepal in phase one. Also, I am a UNICEF Youth Climate Change Champion of South Asia. Yeah, that is about me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, I was also a participant for Australia in Mock COP, and we'll be talking all about that soon and what that program was. So, Shreya, how did you first learn about climate change and I guess what inspired you to become involved in climate activism?
Before 5 years ago, like when I just passed my higher secondary school, I didn't know much about climate change and environment problems, things that has been alarming and causing much problems. And it was the first day of my class in environment science that I got to learn something about climate change. And at that very first day, when I knew that climate change is the existential threat and in no longer time, like it could destroy everything that we have. And so when I first learned that, I was so afraid because, you know, like I studied science in my higher secondary school. And even I studied science, but also I didn't know about climate science and all of those things. And I didn't believe those things at first, but when I came back home and Googled things on internet, I became much more aware of what really is happening. And like when I looked deeper on what are the problems of climate change, environmental degradation that people in Nepal has been facing, you know, so that scared me. And so I think it was not an inspiration for me at first to become a climate activist, but I think it was a climate anxiety at that moment. I was afraid. I used to read a lot about these things and I used to isolate myself from people, and that was the case. And when I learned more about these things, I also became familiar with the people who has been working to combat climate change, and even a young people, you know, who is just young and who is studying in his or her high school, then I thought that they couldn't do much. But when I saw other young people and other different people from Jimmy Margolin, from Zero Hour, to different other people, like that inspired me. And I think it was a climate anxiety at first, but slowly it, like I became confident on myself that I could do something. And I realized that when small acts multiplied by many people, it can really make a miracle. And I don't need to do something very, very big, very big. And that will really make an impact. But I can just try and be a part of small thing so that I can satisfy myself too. And I can do what I can. Yeah, that was the beginning story.
Yeah, wow. It's so great to hear how you, I guess, started in a position of anxiety, but you were able to change that and I guess feel a bit more empowered. And I think that's probably a similar story for a lot of young people which were involved in Mock Cop as well, or just young people in climate activism in general. Is just, yeah, that original sense of anxiety, but definitely when we all work together, it's very empowering. Yeah, so that leads nicely into our discussion into what actually is Mock Cop 26. So you've mentioned it a few times now. Did you just want to give a little run through of what Mock Cop 26 actually is and maybe how the idea started?
Yeah, like Mock Cop 26 is an international youth-led project that mobilized around the postponement of COP 26. By organizing Mock Cop 26, we wanted to fill the void of COP 26. And in place of the original COP, the biggest conference of climate change, we hosted a worldwide online inclusive event to show world leaders and global community what an ambitious yet a realistic COP would look like. And in 2019, the latest COP that was held in Madrid, it was termed as failure, and it was rather disappointing due to the lack of progressive and ambitious target. And that is what we want to change. And Mock Cop 26 is built on this idea of international collaboration of climate activists coming together to create meaningful change. And that event culminated in a powerful statement to world leaders from around the world, raising ambition for COP 26. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, I think looking at it objectively, it was quite a significant event. I mean, there were participants from nearly every country involved and I think more than 300 people and delegates involved as well. So did a really good, really good job at, you know, reaching every corner of the globe in that way. So why did you think, or I guess, why do you think it is important that, you know, participants from every country were represented? Like, there were so many different countries and people involved. Yeah, why do you think that's important?
Yeah, like, that's the right question. Because climate change is a global problem, right? It's not just a problem of a country, but it's a problem of the globe. That's why if we are talking about climate change, a global problem, I think we need global solidarity. We need people from different countries to come together, talk, discuss, and identify what we can do together. And we are not alone in this. And climate change anywhere is climate change anywhere, right? So the impact of climate change, the impact of destruction may be higher in the global south countries who have least adaptation capacity and whose economy mainly depend upon the climate sensitive factors such as agriculture and tourism, but also like no one is away from the impacts of climate change. And in this recent times, we have been hearing the floods in Germany, China, forest fires in Turkey, and that has also showed that, you know, climate change is everywhere. It's not just in a part of a globe, but it's about in everywhere. That's why we need everyone together to be a part of and work together. And also often when we talk about climate change, like it the thing of the greenhouse gas emissions. The global north countries, which are developed, they have higher emissions, and even the developing countries like China, India, they have higher emissions. And due to the emissions of the higher developing countries, the brunt is being faced by the poor countries in the global south. And that is the fact, but also I think we need both global south and global north to work together and not be an ally, not be an enemy, but be an ally. So we need everyone together when we're talking about climate change, especially who are much vulnerable, the people from the global south, the indigenous people, the women, the young people. I think though they are the most vulnerable, and we need to make sure that their voice are being represented in the table and they are being included in the decision-making table. And that's why also we had more than 50% delegates in the mock-up as women, and more than 70% were from the Global South. Yeah, like we wanted to make sure that we make a fair, let's say, proportion.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that was one of the key things of the event, was that it was so encompassing and empowering, I guess, for voices which are traditionally not reflected in conversations about climate change or like leadership in climate change. So that was a really great part of the event. So I'll just speak a little bit about my involvement as a participant, perhaps just to explain how it sort of operated. So we were essentially in different time zone caucuses, and you'd be working with countries that were in the same or similar time zone to you. So for Australia, that was, you know, countries around the Pacific, Asia Pacific region, and there were a set of policies which had been proposed prior to the caucus sessions, and then in those sessions we all discussed the policies together and we voted on which ones to include in the final treaty, which was the final document that we all produced collectively across all the different time zones. So I mentioned the policies there. There were 18. What were those policies about?
Yeah, like in that 2-week event, the young peoples from the globe, the 332 delegates, I think, from more than 130 countries, we worked together to create this mock-up 26 treaty. And it is based on 6 different themes. They are climate education, climate justice, climate resilient livelihoods, physical and mental health, nationally determined contributions, the climate action plan of each country, and protecting biodiversity. And under these 6 main important themes, there are 18 policy asks. The main asks under the climate education is we ask all the country to ensure that all the school-age children are provided with comprehensive and up-to-date teaching regarding the climate crisis. And also they should be given opportunity to learn about their connection with nature. And such education should be freely accessed, and that should be based on the latest climate science and data. And in the part of climate justice, there are 6 different acts. The main one is we ask all the country to extend legal protection to the rights of indigenous people, because indigenous people, they have preserved much of our biodiversity, and they have their traditional ways of conserving the biodiversity. And yet they have been playing an important role to conserve the biodiversity, but yet they have been displaced, they have been treated, they have been harassed. So we want to ensure that all country to extend legal protection to the indigenous peoples. And also we want the UN, United Nations, to formally recognize the human right to a healthy environment, including the right to a safe climate. And the important acts under this climate justice is also like, we want all country to facilitate meaningful and inclusive youth participation in decision-making in all matters related to climate emergency and ecological crisis, because when we're talking about climate crisis, obviously like it is already impacting us in the present time, but in the future, like it is going to impact us more. And the young people of today, who possess the energy, creativity, knowledge, their knowledge should be used in a proper way. They should be engaged in the decision-making table and all those things. But the young people, they has been what's underestimated by the world leaders, and that's why under this climate justice part, we also ask young people to be included in the decision-making table. And in the third part, that is climate resilient livelihoods, now all the countries are preparing the National Adaptation Plan, NAP, and Nepal is also in the way to prepare NAP and submit it within this year. And we want all countries to provide the necessary funding, training, and resources necessary to enable people and communities to adapt and mitigate the consequences of climate emergency through that National Adaptation Plan. And also we want the policies to support the sustainable agriculture, regeneration of soil, forest, and because of the COVID-19, the economy around the world has seriously been crippled. And due to that, the world leaders, they might want to, let's say, open new coal industries and all those things, but we don't want to go back. You know, we need to go forward. That's why we need a just and equitable transition to sustainability. and there should be the development of green jobs and opportunity. And in the fourth part, that is physical and mental health, I think this is a bit underestimated and it's not included in the conversations of climate change, but it is very important, right? We need to make sure that all people are have proper physical and mental health, let's say resources and materials. That's why we want all country to ensure a child's right to play and learn and engage with the nature. And also we want all country to let's say ensure safe, breathable air quality. And yeah, and under the fifth theme, that is nationally determined contributions, NDC, that is the climate action plan of a country, basically how to mitigate their own emissions and also adapt to the impacts of climate change. We want all countries' plans and programs to be fully aligned to, in order to stay below the 1.5 degrees Celsius. That's not the best threshold, but average threshold for us. And also we want all NDCs to spell out for a whole of society energy transition away from coal, gas and other fossil fuels. And in the last part, that is protecting biodiversity, we ask all country to protect at least 30% of biodiversity in both land and marine ecosystems. And also we want all country to phase out all the non-essential single-use plastic. So yeah, that's just a summary, but it's so long. If you want to learn more and read more, you can also look at www.mockup.org/treaty. Yeah, that was just a summary.
Wow, thank you so much. Yeah, it obviously covered so many different topics or themes of climate change. And, you know, we've already covered so much, and that's only just stage one of MockCop. Like, it's still ongoing. There's campaigning work which is happening. So I guess, are you able to explain a bit more, like, what are the different stages of MockCop and sort of where it is at the moment?
Yeah, sure. The phase one, there is two phases of MockCop, MockCop 26. In phase one, we did the 2-week online event and produced this important MockCop 26 treaty. And in this phase two, because we don't want to make a treaty and just be like we haven't done anything. We want to make sure that this treaty is being read by the world leaders and to be implemented in different countries in the world. And in this phase two is about the implementation of the MockCop treaty. And right now in this phase two, we are working with around 35 countries, delegates and campaigners to implement at least one or more policy commitment from the MockCop 26 treaty before or immediately after COP 26. And also we are working to secure ambitious outcomes at COP 26 by influencing delegations and getting a stronger youth presence in both the green zone, the area where the other events takes place, and even in the blue zone where the core negotiations takes place. And also another important part that we have been working right now is climate education. I think education is the foundation of everything. And when we are talking about climate change, still there are people who don't know about climate change, environment, and they don't know their part and how they can contribute. But we need to make sure that all people know about climate change, and they need to do like what they can from their side. So we are prioritizing more on climate education. It is also one of the theme of MockCop 26, and we are working to deliver strong commitment to climate education. That's a formal opinion or a statement on COP towards climate education. So yeah, I think these are the things, major things of phase two, and we are working on it now.
Awesome, thank you. That all sounds really exciting, and that's definitely some big things coming up in the future, which I think all the delegates will be really excited to hear about. So what is your actual role in stage two? So like, you're a campaign coordinator. So can you just give a bit of an insight into what sort of things you do, and then maybe what you hope to achieve in the position as well?
Yeah, there are, like, I'm working as one of the campaign coordinator, as I said before, and I'm not only the one campaign coordinator. There are 8 campaign coordinators from different parts of the globe. I'm from Asia, and there is another one from Asia. There is from Latin America, Europe, Africa, like it's just a rainbow of campaign coordinators from different continent, and there are different works that needs to be done, and we have divided those things. And I work mainly in the social media part to show like what is been happening in the background through our social media handles, and also I'm a working member of the lobby management group, where we plan when we make plan on how to effectively lobby in different countries, and we prepare the resources that is needed for the young people to lobby, because it's not an easy part to do. We need backgrounds and other materials, and me together with another colleague, I work together in that group. And also another one is the VR project group, that is the virtual reality project. We have been working to create 5 different virtual reality films to show in COP26. That virtual reality film is about the impacts of climate change in different parts of the globe and how people are coping with that. It's not just to show the vulnerability, but also to show the resilience of the people. And we want to inspire and push world leaders to make ambitious actions by looking at those VR project, VR videos, and I'm also working on that. And another important thing is, as I said before, there are 35 countries that we are working on, and I'm working, I'm mainly working with Asian countries. Right now I'm working with Nepal, India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, and Indonesia to implement the COP26 treaty. And we have regular meetings and plan how we can effectively lobby. And countries like Bangladesh, India, they are making progress. Even Nepal, they are making progress. And I try to facilitate the conversations. And yeah, so that is the important thing I do. And being in this role, campaign coordinator, like I feel the treaties of the COP26, it's a common ask of all the young peoples. It equally applies in Nepal, whereas it equally applies in other parts of the Europe, right? And we want, like, we are mainly focusing on climate education part, climate education and the inclusion of young people in the decision-making table. So that's a common, what's a treaty that we have been working in the South Asian countries. And being in this role, I really want to, what's say, have a impact in these things. And this South Asian countries that I have been working on achieves a greater commitment to climate education, and have, let's say, proper, meaningful, inclusive young people's participation, engagement in the decision-making table. Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of ambition there. But it's amazing to see how committed the campaign coordinators are in taking forward the treaty, which collectively people around the world worked hard on. So. I think the fact that there's only 8 of you as well just really shows how hard you must all be working to have this implemented in different countries. Just to finish up the discussion about MOC-COP, is there any sort of progress which has already been made, which you could maybe like share an example of what some countries have or how they have responded to the MOC-COP treaty?
Yeah, like we have been making progress. There are different countries. The first one that we have made major progress is in Finland. The Finland delegates, the Finnish delegates, they have already met their minister, and they have already secured a budget or fund to implement, to lobby their ask. And they believe that almost 70% of the MOC-COP treaty will be implemented in the Finland till or immediately after COP26. That is a huge achievement so far of us. And also we had a meeting with Alok Sharma, the COP26 presidency, and we talked about what we have been working on. I think that's also a part of progress from our side. And we talked about how COP26 can help us in having more young people's presence in the core negotiations part. And another country that we have been making progress is in Nigeria. The Nigerian delegates, they have met their minister, the member of the parliament, and talked about COP26 treaty, and they have also ensured that they will support them in implementing the treaty. And I think two or three of the MoCOP 26 acts is already implemented in the Nigeria through their National Climate Change Bill. And another country is Japan. The Japanese delegates, they have been working with Future Earth Hub, and that is, they are working together. And now they are in the process to meet the ministers. So yeah, I think those are the countries. And also there are progress in Canada, in Nepal. Even in Nepal, we met the Climate Change Management Division and we submitted our ask. And they have include us in different meetings related to COP26, related to NDCs and NAP. I think that's also progress so far, but we are... there are also progress in other countries such as India, Pakistan. They are mainly working on climate education part. So yeah, I think there are in Africa also, there are different countries, they have been making progress in their own way. Some has been prioritizing climate education, mainly in South Asia, we have been prioritizing climate education. Whereas in countries like in Canada, USA, they are prioritizing ecocide. And in other countries, they are prioritizing young people's participation. And in Latin American part, they are prioritizing the rights of indigenous people, because everything is different in every country and the priority differs. That's why there is different work's been happening in different countries. But I would say that all of the countries, they have been making amazing progress, and I feel so satisfied to work with this amazing team that has been doing this impactful works.
Yeah, that is honestly amazing. I'm feeling very proud that I was involved in something that has actually had this impact now. And I didn't know what sort of progress had been made. So that's incredible to hear that there is such a degree of support in countries such as Finland and Nigeria and Japan. That's been so empowering and heartwarming to hear, actually. Thank you so much for sharing that. So that's essentially all of the questions I had about MoCOP 26. I think you've given such a fantastic insight into the program and how so many young people around the world got involved in it. And I think it's a really, really telling example of what young people can do when they are, when they get together and they are able to put down an ambitious plan for climate action. I just think it was something which the world really needed, was something like this.
Yeah,
definitely. So just a few more general questions to finish up. So what do you think is the role of young people in combating climate change?
In general, the young people of today in this generation that we have been living in this 21st century, I think the role of young people, it's so important. It could have been deferred if it was in another time, but in this time, because we just have 10 more years to left to save this planet. Different reports of IPCC, the latest report of IPCC, UN, it clearly says that we don't have much time to live to save this planet and avoid this catastrophe being irreversible. So I think the young people of today, they have a very much important role. And I also believe the young people of this generation is the most important generation that this earth can ever hold, because it is up to us whether to save our planet or whether to leave it to ruin and destroy everything. And the responsibility is highest. And while we talk about what young people can do in combating climate change, there is a popular word called activist, environmentalist, and different things. But I would rather say that not every young people should be climate activists and environmentalists to work in climate change, because that needs a lot of time and people might be frightened if they hear about being climate activists at the first time. You don't need to be climate activist or environmentalist to save the planet. It's just we have our different talents and we are in different fields. Some might be in the field of games, some might be in the fields of song and law and different other things. We just need to use our ability, the thing that we can do best to save this planet. So you don't need to do big and so another different thing, but just do the same thing that you are doing, but in a different way. So I think that's the part that young people should prioritize.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely such an important role that young people have, as demonstrated by MOCOP. So finally, did you have a message or advice for any young people who want to become involved in climate activism? I think you might have inspired a lot of people. So yeah, do you have any words of advice?
Yeah, not much, but I guess, like, because the IPCC report, the alarming report, it was just released a week ago, and many people, they might have read or heard about that. But I say that we need the findings of the report from previously, right? Like, it was not new that those are the things, but the IPCC report has clearly spelled that the mess that we are in is just due to the human activities, and we have a very less, time to save these different things. So I guess many people might have read or heard about this alarming things, and they might have been, in a kind of anxiety that I was in a few years ago. So I would say rather that it's not too late to make a change. You know, we can always step in and make small changes that we can. And let's step in, let's make small changes and slowly amplify it to the big levels and join our local organizations. Yeah.
Wow.
Not much.
Thank you so much, Shreya. I think that final message there will probably resonate with a lot of people, just everyone taking small actions and being aware, I guess, or conscious of their actions, and it will all make a difference. So thank you so much for sharing all of that about MOCOP. It's been so insightful, I'm so grateful that you decided to share some of your insights there.
No, the pleasure is mine. Thank you for talking.
Oh, good. Thank you so much. Well, I will be in touch, I guess. I don't know when this is going to be published. I don't know when, but I will basically end this. The recording will upload, and then, sometime in the next few months, I think, but I'll definitely let you know. I'll just be in contact on Slack.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. It has been a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you. No, you were outstanding, and it was so much fun. So thank you. Okay. See you later.
Yeah. See you. Bye-bye. Take care.
Okay.